no decoration, right? Figure it out. This will be fun. Yep. So at some point, I was saying to these guys, you're going to have fun. These are my Air Force spicy tomatoes. I just found some. So Gary Streisky, do you know Gary? Gary is a buddy of mine. And so he was like, he had had a pair. And I commented, I'm like, those are sweet. So the guy who paints these things was like, hey, let me know if you ever want to buy some. Like, let me know. So I'll give you the Gary Streisky rate. I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So what's the Gary Streisky rate? Well, normally you buy the shoe, send it to him, and he'll paint it. I'm sure he charges a certain amount. Yeah, I was like, Gary, I was like, what'd you pay this guy? Whatever you paid him, I'm gonna pay him. He's like, I paid $150. So, $150. So, he was super, this was more like, he was super excited. Like, so a few others have done it. So if you want to pay $150 for a pair of shoes, I mean, it was more for a bit. And to be honest with you, I was like with my cousin who was... What a day it is. Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Field and Matthew hanging out with you, socially distant, of course.
Always.
It has been a wild 24 hours where you and I are, which we are in Bristol, Connecticut, which most people know only because it's where ESPN is.
Sure.
We are also in the middle and definitely have not had it as bad as many, many parts of the country that have been devastated by the recent storm. But we have had a bonkers 24 hours in terms of weather. All kinds of wind, etc. But the good news is
power out. It's been insane.
We are very fortunate though to have yourself here. Mm-hmm. I am here as well, and always good to have Daniel Dopp, who of course is just a few feet. Hold on, wait.
That's awkward.
Okay, this is weird. Hold on, Hold on. I have a message. I'm being told I have a message from Daniel. What?
Well, Matthew, I didn't really want to do the show today, so I decided that I was gonna push that tree back there over, and I pushed it down real hard, and then it fell across the street here, and now there's power lines in front of my street, and I'm so freaking strong, and who even knew about it?
Hurricane Daniel did.
Hurricane Daniel, Hurricane Daniel. Ah, okay,
so Daniel. Yeah, so, all right, so Secret Squirrel apparently obviously not making it here.
Yeah, no Secret Squirrels, we'll figure it out. But we do have Stefania for all of our great injury insight. Of course, we're doing Double Trouble later on today, so we will have Stefania. Hold on.
That's also awkward.
That's also a little weird here. Stefania, that does not, TVU, interesting.
Stefania, ding. You know what? We should have. I have to be honest. So I mean, I guess that's the standard sort of like, you know, non-broadcast. But
right,
we should have like
dolled hers up.
Yeah, like put a cone there.
That would have been nice.
Like it would have been funny if that was like if it had like a little bit of a cone there in the middle.
Yeah, that would have been that's like something I had. Cone. I hadn't put too much thought into what Stefania's like, you know, default background would be in the event that she's not there. But I'm gonna think more about that going forward. All right, so we don't have Daniel.
Stefania has no power. Stefania. Daniel's trapped by trees.
But the foresight of Daniel to build a bunker for Kyle is being rewarded right now in a rich way because Kyle, I believe, is here. Do we have Kyle? We have Kyle.
Is there a weather problem or something? Are you guys okay? What's going on?
There you go.
Kyle.
Just there with his stats. But you know what? Kyle's background, for those who are watching us live, Kyle's background is too nice. It needs to be like beautiful mind, you know, like all sorts of numbers and craziness and string and thumbtacks and
by the end
the
of
whole
the year,
thing. Like that's what it needs to be. It needs to be slightly crazy. Your hair's a little bit too done. Right. It needs to be like truly like a bunker. Like, you know, and like there's like a little thing for your saltines.
I got my crackers, got my water.
I understand.
Okay.
There should be a jar. We should throw a porta potty in there.
That could work.
I was looking for somewhere to go to the bathroom. I'm just kind of sucking it up for the show.
Yeah, I understand. Good for you.
I do think, well, that, like, I feel like what we should be doing here with, like, Kyle by the end of the season should use the microphone jack at the end. He's not an AirPods guy. He's an microphone, I believe, a headphone guy. So you can just use the microphone jack at the end of the headphones to, like, scribble onto the wall some messages. Like, all of his stats, the best stats from Kyle must be scribbled into the wall using only
caveman style?
The headphones. Yeah, the caveman style. We'll figure it out.
It looks a little bit too nice, a little bit too professional.
That's right. Honestly,
it doesn't look like
that.
Somebody's been living there.
So
we have Kyle.
I mean,
that's
you're very neat. You're very neat.
Yeah,
you're fastidious. Fastidious.
Yeah, totally.
As far as I can tell, his wardrobe is entirely like four shirts and one pair of skinny jeans.
Well,
five shirts. Got to get through a work week.
Yeah,
that's right. Five shirts. Do laundry on the weekends. Good thinking there. So, okay, coming up to today's show, we do have Double Trouble. We'll go to the second half of the NFC North. We'll have the Vikings. And then also the Bears, and we are very mindful, by the way, there are a lot of people who have been devastated by this storm over the past 24 hours or so, so that we hope everybody who is out there listening, particularly those on the East Coast where it seems to most have adversely impacted the weather, we hope you are staying safe. And for those that are without power, hopefully it comes back soon, and when it does, you'll have plenty of podcasts to listen to. So, Matthew, let's get into Double Trouble Part 1, and we're going to start with the Vikings, who, of course, last year did make the playoffs, won 10 games, won a game in the playoffs. They upset the Saints and the upset of the first round of the playoffs.
Sure.
They have a star in the making. Not even in the making. They have a star running back. His name is Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook was outstanding last season. He was the second-best running back in fantasy football behind only Christian McCaffrey. But Dalvin Cook wants a new contract, Matthew, and although he did report with fellow Vikings veterans on July 28th to training camp, there seems to be a possibility that Dalvin Cook maybe possibly could miss some time this year if he does not have a new contract. I won't get too far into the weeds about the ramifications for Dalvin Cook either skipping training camp practices or potentially missing games. Let's just put it this way. There's a threat, even if it's a mild one, of Dalvin Cook missing some time. Does that threat of a holdout or whatever you want to call it impact how you are approaching Dalvin Cook in drafts?
A little bit.
How
a little
so?
Bit. So, I mean, look, at the highest level, which is what we are with Dalvin Cook, right? You have to nitpick. You do. I mean, because they're all rock stars. They're all fantasy rock stars. So you have to nitpick. And when you're sitting there looking at Dalvin Cook versus Ezekiel Elliott versus Alvin Kamara versus Saquon Barkley versus Christian McCaffrey versus even Michael Thomas, right? So first off, there's been really one healthy season for Dalvin Cook. There's been one season of elite production for Dalvin Cook. It was last year. And even last year, he missed a couple of games, like in his breakout year. So now he's talking about holding out. And again, like maybe I'm still, you know, a little bit of, you know, I have whiplash from Le'Veon Bell, right? Sure. But certainly you have to take that seriously. After Le'Veon Bell, I think any player that threatens to hold out, you have to take that somewhat seriously. The other piece of it is that we are in a year where there is COVID-19. And you know, Stefania talked about this on the show yesterday and the day before as well, which is the idea that that because we have an era where there was a, you know, limited off season and the schedule is, you know, it's been a quick ramp up to the season, and there's been, you know, people haven't had access to facilities, and we just don't know what's going to go on. Like, so here's a guy that's a health risk. And we also, there's concern about when players get injured, COVID or not, there's concern about what's the recovery process. Again, because facilities are limited, the whole thing. And so, yeah, you can't tell me there isn't more risk with Dalvin Cook at the moment than there is with some of those other bigger name guys.
Let's play two scenarios out. This is scenario one. Dalvin Cook's contract status is not resolved until your draft, which is whether that's today, whether that's September 9th, the day before the season begins, whenever. Dalvin Cook seems to be part of what I would call maybe a big six this year of top players: Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara, Cook, and also Michael Thomas. Where are you comfortable taking Dalvin Cook? If you say, like, this is the point where if I had any pick, that's where I'm taking Dalvin Cook. Would he go to six?
Yeah, five. Ahead of Michael Thomas.
Okay.
I think, you know what I mean? Just sort of, it would depend on my league, depend on my settings, depend on whether it's a, you know, more shallow league versus a deeper league. In general, I want to leave the first round with a stud running back.
Okay. So how about this? Reverse it. This afternoon, tweet, Adam Schefter, Dalvin Cook and the Vikings have struck a 4-year, $60 million agreement on an extension. Where does Dalvin Cook go? Again, if you have your pick, is he going two behind Christian McCaffrey? Two. Okay. So that's good to paint that sense of spectrum for Dalvin Cook for people.
He is going two for me. If you wanted to take Saquon at two, I get it. But he wouldn't get past three for me. I think people would be surprised to know this. Last year, even in a year in which he missed a couple of games, no one had more goal-to-go rushes than Dalvin Cook. Not Zeke, not Saquon, not Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook. And new offense coordinator is Gary Kubiak, right? And so, I mean, like, he was there last year, but we all know that what do you want? You want a Gary Kubiak running back in fantasy.
Hence, you know, whether, well. Yeah,
right. I mean, you think about Arian Foster, you think about some of the Denver running backs. Like, Gary Kubiak knows how to get a running back into great running lanes. And so, for me, yes, if Shefty or you or somebody else breaks the news that Dalvin Cook has signed a long-term agreement, he's my number two player overall. But as of right now, I have him at five. I think something will get worked out.
Sure.
And I'm not super worried. So again, but again, at that level, you have to nitpick a little bit. So that's why I've nitpicked Dalvin Cook down to five.
I've got him at pick three behind Saquon Barkley. I am just very convinced, and we'll talk about Saquon ad nauseum this preseason, that Saquon is back in a major way this year. And he got unlucky with touchdowns last year and, of course, with injury luck. I want to ask you one question about Alexander Mattison that actually our friend at late round QB, J.J. Zachariasen, who posed this question, or actually not really, was, it wasn't a question. It was a statement on Twitter earlier this morning. And his belief is that if you draft a top running back like a Dalvin Cook or Ezekiel Elliott or any of the guys we've been talking about, if you're going to draft a backup running back, it actually shouldn't be that player's backup. So if you draft Dalvin Cook, he's not advocating for necessarily drafting Alexander Mattison. He's saying, hey, if you're going to draft Alexander Mattison, do it because if somebody else has Dalvin Cook on their roster and something happens to Dalvin Cook or he misses games because of this contract situation, you have an elite running back. Where are you at philosophically on that? Are you willing to take a backup to a stud running back that you don't roster yourself? Or are you more inclined to just say, you know what, if I have Dalvin Cook, I'm going to pay the premium on Alexander Mattison and live with the roster construction?
I hadn't seen the tweet from JJ, but love JJ. And I would just say this. I don't know why I have to choose. Like, for me, give me Alexander Mattison. If I draft Dalvin Cook, give me Alexander Mattison, but also give me Tony Pollard. Mm-hmm. Give me Latavius Murray. So my draft day manifesto is going to come out eventually. It's long story as to why it hasn't been out yet, but it has been submitted multiple times, and it'll get out eventually. But at some point, anyway, in the manifesto, I just talk about the fact that this year there's going to be more player turnover than ever before, right?
Okay.
It is an unfortunate situation that we're in, right, and a reality. So I want as much roster depth as I can, and I want it at positions that I think are going to be the hardest to replace. So in a year in which we're playing in, with COVID-19, I think every roster spot is truly precious. I want one quarterback this year because you're going to have to make sacrifices somewhere, right? In your how you construct your bench. And I think wide receiver and quarterback are the two positions in which it is easiest to find a replacement on the waiver wire.
Okay.
I think running back and tight end are going to be the more difficult places. So I want as many running back. Normally, I'm a guy that stacks running backs anyway, but I would want as many as I can. Okay. I think you want a couple of studs, but then you also want as many guys that potentially could pop.
Gotcha.
Like, Daryl Henderson. Give me a guy like, Daryl Henderson that could emerge from the Rams, right?
You don't want to have too many backup running backs. I understand you're saying guys that pop, but, like, you know, if you draft Dalvin Cook, it might not behoove you to also draft Alexander Mattison and Tony Pollard and Latavius Murray. Like, that's three guys who you're waiting on an injury in order to actually see value with that player. So,
but I'm what I'm saying, Field, is I would, again, it depends on sort of your roster size and your league settings. Obviously, if you play in a league where you're starting three wide receivers, that changes versus two running backs, that changes things. But I'm just saying, in general, I want to over index on running backs.
Okay. Yeah.
Like,
I think
in an ESPN standard league where you have seven bench spots, right?
Six
plus the IR, right? So I would want at least three of those spots, if not four, to be running backs.
I think that's a fair presumption, assuming you have a solid quarterback and a solid enough tight end. It's easy to find a solid quarterback. May not be quite as simple to find a solid tight end. All right, so let's spin this forward, and we'll have more conversations about backup running backs to studs and all that throughout the preseason. But this year, the Vikings are going to have a new-look wide receiver group because Stephon Diggs was traded to Buffalo. Adam Thielen is the remaining stud, the guy that is going to be money in the bank, or we expect to be money in bank this year. But how does his fantasy value look with the departure of Stephon Diggs? Does this mean that Adam Thielen's in for a bigger year than we've seen in some time? Does it mean that he is in for a wake-up call because all of a sudden defenses are focused almost exclusively on him? Where do things net out for Adam Thielen?
So I am more pro Thielen than anti.
Me too.
But I'm not all the way in.
Interesting.
So first off, let's talk the pro part of Thielen, right? Yep. We've seen how great he can be. You think back to 2018 where he scored in nine of his first 12 games. He was wide receiver 7 in total points for the season. He's a top 30 wide receiver 14 times. That was the same rate as 2019 Michael Thomas. Like, just amazingly consistent.
Sure.
He was the best wide receiver in fantasy for a good chunk of 2018. And for his career, when he sees 9 targets a game, which is certainly possible given the other, you know, pass totally catchers possible around him in Minnesota, he averages 22.8 fantasy points per game. Basically, I think Michael Thomas was the only player that averaged more than 22.8 last year. Having said that, Thielen for his career has been more effective as a slot receiver than he has been on the outside. He has been.
He has been, yeah.
And, you know what, though? And Justin Jefferson, who was their early round pick.
First round pick, yeah.
First round pick out of LSU. So Justin Jefferson is a guy that had the majority of his success in college as a slot receiver. And the Vikings have already come out and said, like, yeah, they're probably going to have to play Thielen outside a little bit more because the expectation here is that Justin Jefferson is going to be the number two. They'll probably go more 2 tight end sets with Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith. But the fact is that Adam Thielen suddenly has to move outside more, where he has been less effective than he has been. And by the way, Kirk Cousins has been less effective throwing outside the numbers than he has been to the slot in his career.
You know what, though? I've decided that I'm just going to let the... So you're right. And just in general, by the way, like, playing from the slot's a good thing for any wide receiver. The throws are more efficient from a quarterback. We talked about this yesterday with Matthew Stafford and targeting Danny Amendola or Marvin Jones from the slot. Quarterbacks throwing to slot receivers are going to be money. It's going to be more difficult when you're throwing the football down the field. But I think maybe at some point Adam Thielen just turned the corner. And there was a time where he was the ultimate underdog. Now I think we need to just recognize that Adam Thielen is just one of the best wide receivers in football, that it's going to quench my concerns about whether he's playing in the slot, whether he's playing on the perimeter. I think back to last postseason, Matthew, and I understand that the second game they played against the 49ers got late early for them. They got routed. But in that New Orleans game, where they gave them everything they could handle and beat them in New Orleans, Adam Thielen might have been the best player on the field. 7 catches, 129 yards, I think it was. Remember the unbelievable vertical throw where Kirk Cousins dropped a dime, into a basket. Unbelievable. That I'm just, the numbers paint a really rosy story for Adam Thielen from 2018. Obviously, 2019 was impacted by injuries. Just a stud. Like, I don't have too many concerns about Adam Thielen. Top 10-ish wide receiver for me, and wouldn't surprise me if he finishes top 6.
I have him at 10. You have him at 11. The opportunity is there. If he is one of the top 3 players in the NFL in terms of targets, none of us are going to be surprised.
Not at all.
I mean, and I mentioned this 12-team best ball flex league that I'm in. Adam Thielen was my number 1 wide receiver. I got him in the 3rd round. So I'm a believer. I'm hooked on a Thielen, all that. I have him at wide receiver 10. You have him at 11. We all have him right there as kind of a borderline wide receiver 1. I just want to, I know there's a lot of people that are all in, and I just wanted to point out that, before we go all in on Adam Thielen, and Thirsty Cow found this note, in 2019, Adam Thielen averaged 42.6% more points per target when in the slot than when not. And again, I'm with you. He's going to get a tremendous amount of targets, and maybe he's not as efficient, but the increase in target share makes up for that. We both have him as a wide receiver 1 this year. It's just, why is he not top 5? Why is he not top 6? That's why. But we all agree Adam Thielen is due for a big year. He's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, just pure talent-wise.
Last year in the first round of the NFL draft, we had star wide receivers drafted in spot after spot after spot, right? Henry Ruggs was the first one from Alabama. Then we had Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
And we had CeeDee Lamb going to the Cowboys. Jalen Reagor going to the Eagles. Justin Jefferson ends up going to the Vikings at pick 22. And then Brendan Ayuk ends up going at 25 to the 49ers.
Right.
I made this point after the draft, Matthew, and I want to bring it up one more time.
Okay.
I'm of the mind that Justin Jefferson is in the best spot of any rookie wide receiver, definitely amongst those in the first round, to be most fantasy relevant this season. I believe he has the most fantasy-friendly role this season right away. Now, I know the Vikings play a lot of 2 tight ends, and they've got 2 very good tight ends. I know Adam Thielen, we just talked about. And we know that Dalvin Cook's part of the passing game as well. But if
we can count that as an interruption. I just want to add to your point here. they were 31st in pass percentage. It's also a run-first team.
And yet, for all those reasons that we have stated that may be notches against Justin Jefferson, I just think this is a player that if you look at all of the guys who are entering the situations that they're entering in, right? What's one of the knocks on Derek Carr? Too conservative, not going to throw the football down the field.
Sure, sure.
Jerry Jeudy, playing behind Cortland Sutton, he's a star. They added KJ Hamler in the second round, too. Plus Noah Fant. They've got two good running backs. Go to Dallas. CeeDee Lamb's a third wide receiver out of the gates. Justin Jefferson, as we talked about, probably going to play in the slot for a quarterback that, although he has had some success throwing the football down the field, the connection between Cousins and Diggs was excellent last year. Any quarterback, Kirk Cousins included, is going to have his eyes on the slot receiver from right away. The guy's an incredible talent. I remember in the pre-draft process, in the days leading up to the draft, with all this talk about which wide receiver was the best, a number of evaluators told me, you know something? I'm not so sure Justin Jefferson isn't the third best wide receiver in this class. At that time, a lot of them were feeling it was CeeDee Lamb and also Jerry Jeudy and then maybe Jefferson. Obviously, Ruggs went first amongst wide receivers. No major issue with that. But I think Justin Jefferson is set up for the best year amongst first-round rookie wide receivers and maybe out of all rookie wide receivers in terms of fantasy this season.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with that statement. I mean, look, Michael Pittman would be in that conversation as well.
Good spot, too.
Potentially Antonio Gandy-Golden.
Your boy.
My Washington football team. Yeah. So there's definitely some guys there. But in terms of opportunity, Stephon Diggs is leaving. And Thirsty Kyle, pipe in. How many targets did Stephon Diggs get last year? I don't have that in front of me.
Let me grab it for you real quick.
Keep going. I mean, like, there's a tremendous amount of targets. Oh, here we go. Stephon Diggs accounted for 52% of Minnesota's wide receiver receiving yards. Now, again, Adam Thielen missed six games. But still, the fact of the matter is that Stephon Diggs had a number of weeks as a top 20 fantasy wide receiver, and he's now in Buffalo.
Yep.
So there's got to be over 100 targets vacated.
92, close enough.
How much?
92.
In 15 games, so you can have another game.
Yeah, six targets a game.
92 targets are up for grabs with you in terms of Justin Jefferson. We just talked about the fact he's going to play the slot, which is where Kirk Cousins is most comfortable throwing. You think about all the years with Jameson Crowder in Washington. And
totally.
So I don't have an issue with that. Here's my question for you, though. I agree with the blanket statement. Like, and we're not talking about dynasty because Justin Jefferson would be lower for me in dynasty, but you know, Justin Jefferson certainly has the best landing spot of a rookie for fantasy impact this year. But how high are you taking him? Like, are you drafting him this year in a standard 10-team league?
He would be somewhere between rounds 12 and 16 for me. And the reason why I say that's a big range, that's five rounds, is because depending on like when people start taking defenses in my league, which people are, if quarterbacks wait for a ridiculously long time, right, which happens often when we play in our ESPN fantasy expert leagues, then my 12th or 13th round pick might be, you know, a really solid fantasy starting quarterback. So 12 through 16 is sort of my round. He's just a guy that amongst all the young playmakers at wide receiver that we think have a chance to hit weekly fantasy value. He's a guy that my rankings do not reflect that right now, but I would not be surprised if he exceeds his rankings by the time we get a quarter or halfway into the season.
I don't disagree with that at all. The only concern here, and concern's not the right word, but like there's so many good guys like that. Like you taking him or Hunter Renfrow?
No, I get him.
You know what I mean?
Him.
Okay.
Yeah. But just as an example, I think that's the ceiling is higher.
But that's another guy. Like, you taking him or Christian Kirk?
Totally. I was just saying, again, amongst the six rookie wide receivers in the first round, and maybe more, I like his spot more than anybody else. Is there anybody else in a 10-team league from the Vikings that you are using a draft pick on? And if the answer is no, well, then how deep of a league would it need to be for you to invest in a Kirk Cousins or a Kyle Rudolph or an Irv Smith? Or these guys sort of just, let's talk about them on the waiver wire, or if we have a massively expanded bench because of COVID, they might make it in like the 16th through 18th round or something like that.
So I think 12-team league, certainly in a two-quarterback league, obviously Kirk Cousins is the conversation, right? You know, he's solid. But he's like, again, he's sort of the conversation we had yesterday about Matthew Stafford, right? He's fine. Like, he's fine. He's solid. He doesn't really run.
I think we agree, by the way, that Stafford, like, much more
better.
Fine.
Yes. But as a lower tier QB2, Kirk Cousins is fine. We've seen him have fantasy success before, but they're going to be run heavy, and he doesn't run. And there's so many quarterbacks that do run. By the way, the weird part is that he can run.
Remember, he had like six rushing touchdowns a season for back-to-back years with Washington.
And it's weird. And I know Kirk a little bit. And I actually spoke to him prior to last season. And I ran into him. And we were just talking. I said, like, how come, like, you didn't run your first year in Minnesota? Yeah. Like, he goes, I know. He's like, I'm really good at the bootleg. Like, it's a weapon that we had in the playbook in Washington. And I'm trying to get them to add it in more and let me do it more. He's like, I agree. Of course, when Dalvin Cook's scoring on every single time, you don't really need to do those bootleg runs. But maybe Kirk is aware of that. And so maybe that gets added to the playbook a little bit more this year. So he's a lower tier QB2 for me. The really interesting guy for me would be Irv Smith. There's a lot of these sort of lower tier tight end twos, like Jonnu Smith and Blake Jarwin and Ian Thomas and Chris Herndon, and I kind of like Dan Arnold in Arizona. And there's a lot of guys like going late, like going after tight end 15 that are interesting, right? But again, like how interesting, right? And so some of those guys,
that's a delineation.
Like I'd rather Jonnu Smith or Jarwin or Ian Thomas because they have the job themselves.
Right.
They're the starters. And even though they're going to play two tight end sets and we both really like Irv Smith's talent, by the way, that doesn't even count like the Fants or the Hawkinsons or the Gesekis or like, I mean, there's a lot of those guys. But I do think Irv Smith is just talented just from a pure NFL standpoint. I think Irv Smith is talented. I think they're going to run a lot of two tight end sets. I believe they actually had two tight ends on the field more often than any other team in the NFL last year. Thirsty Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong on that. And he's certainly a guy that should be in the back of your mind, like could be an early pickup, I could see. But the problem is that Kyle Rudolph is going to finish the year with six touchdowns. And you don't know when they're going to come. And so if Irv Smith isn't getting a massive target share and he isn't going to score touchdowns except intermittently, it's hard to say, you know, you're excited about him beyond just as a you're in a deep league and you like the upside there.
So again, this was the conversation we had yesterday that I was sort of poking on Alan Lazard, is that like there's a difference between liking a player and seeing potential versus like actually making an investment in him. All right, we're talking about the Bears in just a moment, Matthew, but first from you.
Yeah, who's my live read, Matt Harrington?
This would be Geico.
Geico. I'm looking for my Geico script. I don't think I have a Geico
script. Matthew, here's what I'm going to do.
Hang on.
Okay. Page 5.
Here it is. There it is, page 5. Geico is on page 5, but number one on our hearts. Did you know, Field Yates, that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? RVs, by the way, are the hottest thing right now.
I just got a new car.
So. Yeah, no. RVs are blowing up. Everyone loves RVs these days. Anyway, that is 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed with Belgian waffles and a fresh fruit compote? Have you taught Cisco to do that yet?
Every day.
Obviously. As nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com today, or just stop by.
Let's talk about the Bears. We have to. No, I'm just kidding. That was a bad. That was a bad way to start the Bears conversation.
Bears.
The Bears. Daniel 2 years ago, hair on fire offense. Last year, not so good. Obviously, a very disappointing season for the Bears last year, when we would have expected that the opposite would be true. But
the bums.
They have one star, and Matthew, I used to think this crown belonged to Corey Davis, that Corey Davis was a really good quarterback away from being a star wide receiver. And last year he had really good quarterback play, and there was a star receiver on the Titans. It was actually A.J. Brown.
Right.
But the unquestioned crown of best wide receiver who has been recently plagued by bad quarterback play, because Larry Fitzgerald had this crown forever, for a long time, it's got to be Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson is an absolute beast. He is an incredible talent. He's massive. I mean, if you see him in person, I think he's a tight end. He is huge. Incredible deep threat. He's good in every layer of the field.
He's a young Matthew Berry.
He is a young Matthew Berry.
That's how impressive he is, when you're just like, good God.
But
you know what I mean?
His year last year was still really, really solid. But the Bears have two options at quarterback this year.
Yes, sir.
Does it matter which one of them is the starter? as it pertains to maximizing the value of Allen Robinson in fantasy?
I don't think it does.
Okay.
First off, just to talk about a little bit how underappreciated Allen Robinson is. When my first initial ranks came out, I had Allen Robinson at number 8. I now have him at wide receiver 9. But I got so many people being like, wait, what? Allen Robinson? Are you crazy? Are you high? Blah, 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 blah. Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Angry, angry, angry. And you're just like, do you guys understand this guy was a top 10 fantasy wide receiver last year? Like, I don't think people appreciate, because the Bears weren't a sexy team, because it was an offense that struggled, I don't think people appreciated or understand how good Allen Robinson was last year. And they don't. Like, his ADP this year is wide receiver 13. Like, he, again, like, this is a guy that was a top 10 wide receiver, another year removed from injury. And one of the two things is going to happen with the quarterback play. Nick Foles is going to come in and be an improvement over Mitch Trubisky, or Mitchell Trubisky is going to improve from what he was last year and beat out Nick Foles. Like, whatever their quarterback situation is this year, I don't think it's worse than it was last year. I actually think Nick Foles is going to be an improvement over Mitchell Trubisky, but whoever is the starter for Chicago is going to be an improvement over the quarterback play from last year. You think about Allen Robinson, who got 32% of his team's receiving yards last year, right? Third highest rate in the NFL. He's third in target share. 11 different games with 6 or more receptions. Only Michael Thomas had more. He actually tied for the NFL lead in red zone target share in 12 games there with Allen Robinson.
Just to correct that, tied for the league lead with a red zone target in 12 games last year.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. It's why you're here. Thank you, Field.
You're welcome.
This is why they won't let me do a podcast alone, America. FYI.
That's the reason?
Yes, that's the reason. Okay. That's what I've decided. But anyway, I just think, so it's an offense that we think is going to be decent. We don't think it's going to be a great offense.
Right.
But we think it's going to be at least decent. He's a massively talented player, getting massive target share on an offense that at worst will be even with last year when he was a top 10 wide receiver, and most likely going to at least somewhat improve.
Yeah. So, and just for those that are watching the live stream right now, we're flashing a graphic that shows the air yards leader from 2019. He was 4th in air yards. And what air yards means, if it wasn't intuitive, is that the number of yards the football traveled in the air on his targets last year, maybe even catches. It definitely is not. I'm pretty sure it's targets. Kyle, you want to?
Targets, correct.
Targets is correct. So even if it's balls that are not completed, we still track the air yards. The Bears are unafraid to stretch the field vertically with Allen Robinson. So you mentioned, Matthew, you've got him at wide receiver 9. I am at wide receiver 14, which feels a little bit disrespectful based off the conversation we're having right now. And I don't want to make this point.
Why do you hate Allen Robinson?
I don't hate Allen. I don't want to make this point too many times over during the preseason, but I feel like I'm going to invariably make it a lot.
Go ahead.
There's such good depth at wide receiver right now.
Good depth.
That, like, if we're debating Allen Robinson versus Adam Thielen, I could tell you that you have to make the Adam Thielen case, and you'd do it in 5 minutes. Sure. I could tell you make the Allen Robinson case, you'd also be able to do it in 5 minutes. So, draft running backs early.
Yeah,
wide receiver
exactly.
Depth is really
that's
good.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, again, just goes back to roster construction, and it's why, as great as Michael Thomas is, as great as Davante Adams is, I'm probably not going to have a lot of those guys on my team if they go in the first round, because I just want a running back in the first round, because you come back around in the third round and you will get a Allen Robinson, you will get a DJ Moore, a Kenny Golladay, a Mike Evans. Yeah, I mean, you'll get somebody like that and you'll have two good running backs. And depending on where you are, if you pick fifth or something, fourth or fifth, come back around, you probably get Julio. In the second round, or
right.
Tyreek Hill.
Correct.
So I'm just saying, like, again, running back in the first round.
Running back in the first round, a thing that needs to be said many, many times. All right, quickly on Anthony Miller, do you want to mention him? You have
like
a wide
Anthony
receiver 51. You like him. That's actually more investment than I think you've said for guys like Alan Lazard or
Irv Smith.
So you kind of like Anthony Miller as maybe a sleeper of sorts this year?
Well, he's undrafted pretty much in every ESPN league, over 80% of ESPN leagues. But here's the thing. I like him especially if Nick Foles gets the gig.
Okay.
Okay, because Nick Foles has actually been pretty good in terms of targeting the slot. It's one of the reasons why
we
liked D.D. Westbrook. Yep. Yeah, they had some moments as well. For his career, Foles' percentage of touchdowns thrown to the slot is above league average. You think about 2013 to 2014 when Foles had, a good chunk of the starting started a lot, right? Because his career has been sort of spotty. He was a top 5 quarterback in terms of points per slot attempt. Got to say that carefully.
We are digging
points
into the
per
archive.
Slot
2013
attempt.
Or 2014.
Rogers,
points
Rivers,
slot attempt,
Peyton, yeah? Manning, Drew Brees, Nick Foles.
Okay. Yeah.
Pretty good list. Sure. But anyway, yeah, my point is that for his career, he has been more comfortable and more effective targeting the slot, which is where Anthony Miller lines up. Remember, weeks 11 through 15 last year, Anthony Miller was the eighth best wide receiver in terms of total fantasy points. So we've seen that potential.
Right,
yeah, he had a great rookie year as well. Just, I like Anthony Miller. I like Anthony Miller late.
Remember last year when there were victory laps for David Montgomery in the fantasy community before he'd even played a game?
Yes.
You recall that, right?
There were certainly some people that were very, 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 very high on David Montgomery, no question.
He ended up as RB30 last year, 10.65 points per game for David Montgomery. So
you can't
maybe
blame Matt Nagy for it, though.
That's right. Well, but the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, right?
Yes.
David Montgomery, however, so I know that he was overdrafted last year. He was going in third round in leagues in some places last year. Absurdly high. However, you might be inclined to punt on him as a result of that. And maybe the entire Bears backfield. Is there actually some value, though, to be had in the Chicago backfield, Matthew? Because as of right this moment, David Montgomery is being drafted as RB27, just ahead of Raheem Mostert and Cam Akers. Do you think there maybe is actually some sneaky value in David Montgomery at that price point?
I do. I have him at 27 as well. Again, fantasy value comes from two things: talent and opportunity. The opportunity is massive. Like, his only competition is Tariq Cohen. And Tariq Cohen ain't carrying the ball 20 times a game. Cohen's a gadget player. They use him more as a wide receiver. Like, it's going to be the David Montgomery show. Last year, in a year in which the entire offense was terrible, in which David Montgomery struggled and was incredibly inefficient, Matt Nagy still gave David Montgomery the ball 23 times in goal-to-go situations. That was tied for fifth in the NFL with Leonard Fournette. He got more goal-to-go carries than Ezekiel Elliott.
All right.
David Montgomery didn't convert a lot of them, which is why
he got him.
My point is they kept giving it to him. They kept giving it to him. And so he's going to get, once again, the opportunity there. Can he produce at the level that we saw in college that made people excited about him, that made the Bears want to draft him? Look, the Bears have made some questionable decisions from the front office. So the evaluation on David Montgomery from the front office of Chicago may not be the same evaluation that other NFL GMs had, but at the moment, he's the guy. And so if you're telling me at running back 27, I can get a guy that is going to get 23 goal-to-go carries, that is going to be one of the league leaders in terms of attempts, it's going to get a massive workload, why not?
I'm giving him one more chance, Matthew.
Yeah.
I'm giving him one more chance, again, at this value, which is RB27, as you mentioned. You have an RB27. I have an RB28. He's Sony Michel in this regard to me, is that there's enough opportunity here that you're sort of interested, right? You're very interested. As you mentioned, all those positive stats, 15.1 carries per game, that's good. They treated him like a workhorse running back last year. But what I want to figure out is whether he is also like Sony Michel, and that the lack of explosive runs, the lack of yards after contact, and in some cases, the lack of yards before contact, because last year he was 39th out of 45 qualified running backs in terms of yards per carry before first contact. One more year for me on David Montgomery before I entirely punt on ever investing in him again. The good news is that this year at RB27, you're not wasting precious draft capital like the 25th overall pick or something like you did one season ago.
100% there, Field. And the one thing I'll say just off of your Sony Michel comment, Montgomery can catch passes. Like, I know the plan was last year, on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus, which, by the way, the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus, just want to, I meant to start the show off with this, but then we did a whole thing, but like, I just...
Look at
out.
You.
I want to just give a shout out to the Fantasy Show on ESPN.
Nice. Where'd
Plus.
You guys have those made up?
I know people.
You know
if
people?
You like one? I can get you one.
Sure.
Of
you got a guy? I'd
I
love
got a guy.
One.
I, got, right, a, I cool. got a face mask guy.
Okay. Nice.
Anyway, so the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus, we do our debut show today for the season. So
yep.
It'll be up later tonight on ESPN Plus. Of course, I'm a company man. Dun-a-nut. But Lou Riddick was on our show last year, doing his bold predictions, and, Lou knows Matt Nagy. There's no secret about that. And he had gone to Chicago Bears camp and talked about that on the show and just talked about that the plan was going into last season that David Montgomery was going to be used a ton in the passing game. Obviously, that did not work out. But I know that that is in his skill set, or at least they think it is. And it's so I don't know that he's as one-dimensional as Sonny Michel. There's potential for David Montgomery to be more dimensional, more, you know, more of a three-down back than Sonny Michel is.
I think the reality on Tariq Cohen is he fits into this category of players that, you know, in fantasy football, you're not awarded to finish in third or fourth or fifth place, right? Like, you win the league, that's what matters most. Tariq Cohen is not the player that you're drafting in order to be the winner of your league, right? Because Tariq Cohen, I know 2 years ago, he ended up finishing as, like, RB11 or something crazy, right? But last season, I'm going to pull this stat right here. He ended up last season as RB35, 10.24 points per game. I just don't think that Tariq Cohen is the kind of player that you're drafting as something more than, hey, I want a high floor flex consideration this year, which because of the wide receiver depth, I think there might even be even higher floor considerations than Tariq Cohen, a player that's not going to be a wasted draft pick, Matthew, but also not somebody that there are not too many drafts that I'm going in and thinking to myself, I'm targeting Tariq Cohen, if that makes sense.
I want no part of Tariq Cohen this year, and I'll be clear as to why. It has nothing to do with the player, who I think is a nice player.
Yep.
I think he's a nice player. I think the Bears use him well. Like, I like him. But your point is exactly right. Tariq Cohen, the best case scenario for Tariq Cohen is that you start him in a week in which he has a big play, right? You know,
8 for 70 through the year, right?
Right, exactly. Like, four of his five biggest career games came in large part to one big play, like a 35-plus yard play. And so you start him on that day.
You guess right.
So, but at no point is Tariq Cohen going to lead you to a title. He's a nice to have. Like, his best case scenario for him is he's a usable flex. Whatever. Who cares? My point is that if David Montgomery goes down, they will have somebody else. You know, he's not going to be the guy.
Right.
I would much rather
Mike Davis last offseason.
Right, exactly.
For that reason.
It'd be Mike Davis. Maybe they signed a veteran, whatever.
I know Mike Davis is now gone. But still, the point was that was the investment they made, knowing Tariq Cohen couldn't be the fill-in running back.
He's not going to be the guy.
Yep.
I would much rather the place where you're drafting Tariq Cohen, whose ADP is currently running back 30. He's going ahead of Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn, both of guys who could be the starter in Tampa Bay. But, like, I'd much rather a guy like J.K. Dobbins. Now,
totally agree.
So over the course of the year, Tariq Cohen is probably going to be usable many more weeks than J.K. Dobbins. But if anything happens to Mark Ingrams, J.K. Dobbins could be a top five fantasy running back.
Correct.
J.K. Dobbins could win you a league. He could also, by the way, do nothing all year, right?
Yep.
But I would much rather give me a J.K. Dobbins, a Tony Pollard, an Alexander Mattison, the guys we were talking about earlier in the show. I'd much rather swing for the fences because we know that if Ezekiel Elliott or Dalvin Cook or Mark Ingram were to miss time, we would know that's when you start J.K. Dobbins, that's when you start Tony Pollard, that's when you start Alexander Mattison versus Tariq Cohen, where you're just guessing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, and so for me, this will be part of the manifesto when you guys read it, but it's not just about having players that have high ceilings in a weekly moment, but it's also about having players that you know when to start them. You know what I mean? And so for me, Tariq Cohen's a guy that I will never draft. When I get around that, I'm going to draft, especially this year, where we expect there to be a lot of turnover, I'm going to draft players that I expect that have the chance to, in any given week, be a top 10 player at the position.
Yep. Like, in our rankings, Matthew,
theory.
Again, is sort of theory, philosophical, is that, like, I think Tariq Cohen could very easily finish as a top 35 running back in terms of total points again this year. I just don't trust that it's going to be in weeks in which I forecast him to be a major part of the offense. All right, let's talk about the rest of the Bears offense.
Not a guy that's going to win you your league.
Correct.
If you need Tariq Cohen production, you can find it on the waiver wire or somewhere else. Like, what are we trying to do here, guys? We're trying to win.
Right.
We're trying to win.
Yeah. If you ain't first, you're last.
Exactly.
So the Bears, other players, whether it's the quarterbacks, whether it's the tight ends, and they do have a lot of tight ends. Is there anybody else that piques your interest in a 10-team league for the Bears? If not, same thing I asked you about the Vikings. How deep would you have to go in terms of league size before you're investing in a Jimmy Graham, a Cole Kmet, maybe, I don't know, Cordarrelle Patterson? I don't know who else.
Don't mention Cordarrelle Patterson to me.
Sorry, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Come on.
That was a little bit of...
I love, by the way, don't be, like, if Dave Montgomery went down, it might be Cordarrelle Patterson.
He could be.
By the way, Cordarrelle Patterson, like, is, like, just someone has to figure out how to use, and I think the Bears have come the closest to figuring out how to use him, but,
he
like.
Had a great year for the Patriots and winning the Super Bowl with them.
Did, right,
that was probably the best we've seen, right?
Right.
But since then, it's, yeah, other than that, it's been inconsistent. But
he just, you know, yeah, just, anyway, I sad. Real Patterson.
Okay, can't win them all.
Anyway, so nobody else? But no, like, I want no part of Cole Kmet or Jimmy Graham. I didn't understand the Jimmy Graham signing.
Oh, you didn't?
Huh?
You didn't, huh?
No, I did not.
Neither did I. And,
I mean, they have, like, you know, 8 billion tight ends there.
Jimmy Sexton, his agent, stays winning, man.
Can I get that guy as my agent? Like, sure, do you know Jimmy?
Because I do. Jimmy's a legend, of course.
I need an agent. Happen.
Yeah. 2 years, so, $16 million for Jimmy Graham.
Unbelievable.
So good.
Unbelievable. But it's been a while since Jimmy Graham has been a consistent fantasy producer. In Trubisky and Foles, again, we have no clarity on that position. So even in a 2-quarterback league, to me, that's like one of the last positions. That's one of the last quarterbacks to go, even in a 2-quarterback league.
Yeah, I'm with you, Matthew. If you're a Bears fan, you have hopefully lots to root for because the defense is really good this year. And maybe the quarterback play injects a little bit of life. But for fantasy football purposes, it's going to be a pretty narrow group, just a few guys.
Yeah, listen, we have seen Nick Foles be fantasy relevant at times. We've seen Mitch Trubisky be fantasy relevant at times. I mean, his, you know, 2 years ago, he actually had a really nice season over the second half of the year. You remember the, he had the 6-touchdown game against Tampa Bay, right? Last year, weeks 12 through 15, he was the 6th best quarterback in fantasy. So we've seen flashes of fantasy relevance, but it's one of those things that's like a name to keep in mind. If he gets it together, you're picking him up, but you're not drafting
him. I just thought of something, Matt, because I always sort of struggle with this, is that we're going to, and I already have. I've already been a little bit of a wet blanket on some players, like Alan Lazard, and just earlier in the show, you know, we're talking about, you know, Irv Smith and players that, like, okay, I'm throwing a little bit of cold water on the potential argument for these players. It's possible that I'm going to do that on 25 players in the preseason, and 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 of them are going to end up becoming fantasy relevant. Maybe 2 of them become stars, right? Maybe there are 2 guys that slip through our cracks that we're going to not talk about at all during Double Trouble. They're going to be fantasy rock stars. Sure. And you know what, Matthew? People are going to say, well, nice call by you guys, or lack thereof.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is about, because this is like the NFL draft, right? In the sense that if Nick Foles has a great fantasy season this year, you know who's going to benefit most? The person that picked him up earliest on the waiver wire because he or she was 0-3 out of the gates and Nick Foles found his mojo.
Right.
There are not leagues other than maybe diehard Chicago Bears or Arizona Wildcat fantasy leagues where Nick Foles is going to be drafted somewhere high. So if you miss the boat on him and he becomes a star in fantasy football, that's okay. You got to live with it. In the same way that, like, which NFL GM is most to blame for Philip Lindsay not being drafted? None of them, right? Like, they all pass on him. John Elway passed on him 7 times, and now he's going to have to pay him because he's had back-to-back 1,000-plus yard seasons. So when we are evaluating these players, and maybe I feel like I'm being too much of the Grinch right now, but when I'm sort of downplaying the fantasy value on some guys, just remember that, like, you only have 15 slots on your roster, and there are only so many players that you're actually going to draft. We're going to miss the boat just like everybody else. Your favorite fantasy analyst at any other company is going to miss the boat. That's the point we're trying to make, is that, like, at value in terms of where they're being drafted, there's no need to invest in these players.
Yeah, it's
there might be a need.
Look, it's all about the game of what's most likely to happen, right? Could Mitch Trubisky be a fantasy superstar this year? Sure.
2 years ago, he was really good.
Right. But it's not likely to happen. It could, but it's not likely to happen.
Yep.
Right? So Lamar Jackson last year, like, you and I both liked him as a sleeper, but both of us had him ranked outside the top 10, right? I mean, like, what's more likely to happen? Lamar Jackson has a good fantasy year? Sure. Lamar Jackson has the greatest season in history of an NFL quarterback in terms of fantasy points?
Right.
That was not likely to happen. It happened.
Right.
Congratulations to Lamar Jackson. He deserves all the accolades. But it's just we're in the game of what's most likely to happen. Here's why we think what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what we think is going to happen, and here's why we think that. So yeah, I mean, listen,
why we're not trying to get super excited or hyped about something that could potentially possibly happen in like 2 of 100 scenarios.
I was on the Darren Waller train last year from the combine. We had Greg Olson, the offense coordinator of the Raiders, on the show. He mentioned Waller in our combine podcast. We've been talking up ever since. Even I, as pro Waller a guy as there was in the industry last year, didn't expect him to be the fifth best tight end in fantasy.
He was a rock star.
He was wall of the baller. So my point is that even when we quote get it right, we may not get it fully right. You know what I mean? Like, totally. And so
yep.
It's, you know, it's all a guessing game.
This summer is going to be unlike any other, safe to say. And while some of our favorite events might be postponed, summer certainly is not. Social distancing has pressed pause on many of our typical plans and left us feeling like summer is postponed too. But again, it's not. Summer is still out there. You'll just have to work a little bit harder to find it. And Coors Light wants to make it easier for you to chill this summer and give you a break from the stress and pressures of daily life. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing, crisp, and only 102 calories. Can confirm. Plus, the new Coors Light Summer Can does the work for you. It features sunglasses that literally turn blue when the beer is cold and ready to drink.
Wait, what?
So when you choose to turn off, reach for the one beer that's made to chill. That's why Coors Light is the one I choose when I need a moment of chill. So when you want to reset this summer, reach for the beer that is made to chill. You can have Coors Light delivered by going to get.coorslight.com. That's awesome. And finding local delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Beautiful facility. Driven past there a million times. That's, of course, Chapin's family lives in Colorado.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, listen, and I just want to say this to the company right now, to everyone that's watching at ESPN, especially our friends over at ESPN Ad Sales. You know, listen, Coors Light is a friend of the family. It's in the,
it is, yeah.
It's, you know, it's now in the Fantasy Focus family. I feel like we should sample the product on air just as part of the, you know, just to like, again, to like, so show some love to the sponsors.
You have done it again, Matthew Berry.
I'm just saying.
Sounds
just
like an idea.
Just an idea. Wouldn't mind some Geico insurance either. Can they hook a brother up there? But again, listen,
we got a car on Friday, a second car. We got an extra, we used to put Geico insurance.
I guess we
should have waited until Monday to do it when we were doing. Talk about the podcast.
Yeah, probably should have.
All right, so let's go to Daniel. Stefania.
Yeah, what do we got?
Kyle, it is.
Kyle,
you get
somehow
the social questions for us. Kyle, take it away.
I got you. Dustin wants to know which running back leads the Dolphins in fantasy points this season, and if you would consider drafting both to try to monopolize the backfield.
So I'm assuming his thoughts on both are obviously Jordan Howard and Matt Breida. No,
correct.
No love for Patrick Laird. I think the answer is Jordan Howard.
I think the answer is Jordan Howard, and I don't think it's close.
Really? But not close. Interesting. You concerned Jordan about Matt Breida being like a bit player? What are you concerned with there?
So I think a couple things. First off, Matt Breida can't stay healthy.
Right.
Matt Breida can't stay healthy, and just from our perspective, from a fantasy perspective, where we care about, in addition, Matt Breida is an unbelievable player, and he's tough as nails. But like, how many games have we seen where Matt Breida gets hurt, leaves the game early? Like, it's not only like an injury-prone player where you're like, okay, I know I'm not starting him for these three. Like, it doesn't feel like he completes a lot of games.
Right.
You know, Jordan Howard doesn't miss games and is one of the best goal line runners in the NFL since he came to the NFL. Yeah. Kurt Thirsty, Kyle, you know, we just got this question. You can look this up. But since Jordan Howard came into the NFL, tell me what he is in terms of goal-to-go rushing touchdowns. My guess is he's top five in the NFL, if not higher, since he came to the NFL.
Not a bad
guy that gets like, he gets like 9 touchdowns a year, except for last year. I think he got 7 because he got injured, but he looked great for Philadelphia. Like, so he's a grinder. The Dolphins spent a lot of their offseason acquisitions on they improved their offensive line in a significant way.
Sure did.
This offseason. I think that offense
Flowers,
is going to be
awesome. Jackson. Huh? I'm just giving all the names. Yeah. Eric Flowers, Austin Jackson, Ted Karras, amongst other players, added this offseason to their offensive line.
Exactly. So Jordan Howard is going to be, he's going to be the first and second down back. He's going to be the goal line back on an improved offense behind an improved offensive line.
Yeah.
I think Jordan Howard is actually a really interesting sleeper this year. Like he's another one of those guys that no one is excited about. When you draft Jordan Howard, no one's going to be like, oh man, or yeah. Ooh, good pick. You know what I mean? But all he does is produce. He is going to outproduce his ADP, and he's probably going to finish as like a borderline top 20 running back, and he's not going to cost you anywhere close to that.
All right, next one here, and we have Kyle researching the Jordan Howard thing and asking questions.
You got it? What do you got?
He can multi-pass.
Yeah, did you say top five?
Yeah.
Tied for fifth. That's pretty good Matthew burying right there.
That's like a half trivia point for Matthew.
Yeah, no, I'll give that to him. That's impressive. I wouldn't have gotten that. Jack.
Two first names, always a crowd pleaser, by the way, Jordan Howard.
There you go. Melvin Gordon also on that list.
Yes.
Also two first names. Jack wants to know if you recommend drafting a backup quarterback more this year than in years past, be it the backup quarterback for your starting quarterback or just the second quarterback on your roster?
So I addressed this earlier where I talked about, like, I only want one quarterback. Like, again, every roster spot is precious, and I think quarterback is going to be the easiest position to replace, even if other people in your league draft multiple quarterbacks. So for me, because if a starting quarterback goes down, there'll also be a replace. You know, the backup will be in there. But Field, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I feel the same way. In previous years, when I write the 9 rules column on ESPN.com, I talk about, like, if you have a less than secure, like less than obvious quarterback as your starter, so like if you have a Mahomes or a Jackson, don't bother, then maybe you can make the case. This year, because of the depth of quarterback, which I know we always talk about it, but this year it's so crazy, ridiculously deep. Like, we didn't even mention, we talked about him, but like Kirk Cousins can be your starter this year. We're not necessarily pounding the table for it, but like he's not going to lose a year league. So because of that, no, I am not drafting a second quarterback to hold onto my roster just in case. All right, Kyle, what else?
Austin wants to know, Beckham or Juju this season? You both have Beckham slightly higher.
And Beckham. That's yeah. My rankings reflect how I feel.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. It depends.
Of course it's close, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's super close. They're both they're both upside plays with...
Well, can we have a conversation for a second about something?
Sure, what do we got?
Odell Beckham Jr., at his peak, might be the most talented wide receiver on this planet.
Correct.
It's just a statement of fact. The guy is crazy. He rewrote record books early on in his career. What happened last year was rock bottom, in my opinion, for Odell Beckham in terms of his football play, right? And I don't want this to come across as personal, but we also know that they basically were running a junior varsity operation last season. It's well known. That's why they made wholesale changes. There's nowhere to go but up for Odell. And I understand that a lot of what I'm saying is also a problem. Like, Juju also probably cratered last year. But I don't think that we believe... at least I don't believe, that the best version of Juju equates to the best version of Odell. And I just think that Odell, because it was never about quarterback play for Odell in New York, it was always about Odell. And I think Baker Mayfield right now is as talented, if not more, than where Eli Manning was when he was throwing to Odell.
This is the argument we were making last year as well. And
I have more confidence.
Out.
And fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But I'm still believing in Odell this season. Enough, I mean, to have not like top five, but like whatever I have, 13th or something, right?
Both these guys were going top five last year, top five, top six-ish. They both are insanely talented. There is less unknown about Beckham than there is Juju, right? If you just have to, again, you have to sort of nitpick here, right? So with Beckham, we haven't seen, I mean, the target shares were there. He stayed healthy. I mean, he wasn't healthy last year, but like he played through it. With Juju, we haven't seen him be successful as a number one yet.
Yep.
The majority of his success came with Antonio Brown on the team. And so is Ben healthy this year, and can he be a number one? With the Browns, it's just Beckham needs to stay healthy, and you know, can Baker and that offense get right, which we expected there to be improvement this year, obviously.
Kyle.
Last question here comes from Julian. He plays in an 8-team dynasty PPR league that starts this year. He wants to know your thoughts on drafting 3 straight running backs to start things off.
Totally fine with it, to be honest with you. I understand that wide receivers hold their value better than running backs in dynasty, but you're playing in an 8-team league. There's going to be 6,000 wide receivers available to you, right? I mean, if you're playing in an 8-team league, you could pass on a wide receiver, and every single wide receiver, every single pick, 1 through 24 besides yours, could be wide receivers, and you still have the 22nd best wide receiver in fantasy football. Now, obviously, there's going to be tons of running backs taken there, but you're going to pass on wide receivers till the 4th round, and you still might get, like, you might end up with Cortland Sutton and
Terry McLaurin.
Right. And who knows? Julian Edelman is your 3 wide receivers. totally fine way to, if you pass on wide receivers. And I'm
not the best dynasty pick,
just but you know, in the sixth round, right? Like, you're gonna be fine, you know, like,
right.
You'll be fine.
No, right.
You know, like,
Marquise Brown. Yeah, I mean, you totally. Know, like Hollywood Brown. So I don't have an issue with it. What I will have an issue, though, is I don't like going into a draft saying I'm drafting three straight running backs.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like,
if it falls that way, fine.
I mean, you're telling me, like, if you're in the third round and Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes is still there, like, you're not drafting them in a dynasty league? Like, so, I mean, I personally, I think Mahomes is still 101 yep. in a dynasty league. Like, I mean, again, it depends if it's super flex and, you know, I don't know what you're scoring. It just says PPR. But I don't have an issue with, I certainly wouldn't avoid running backs. Fields right. Running backs and wide receivers and quarterbacks hold their value longer in dynasty, but it's an 8-team league. So I think you can be a little bit more flexible with those kind of rules.
All right, Kyle, let's have some fun with trivia. What do you got for us?
All right, Dalvin Cook is looking to become the fourth running back in Vikings history to rush for 1,100 yards in consecutive seasons. I'm not letting you guys name Adrian Peterson. That's easy. Give me the other two. You get a trivia point for each one you get right.
All right. So I since you're default, yeah, but you got it right.
I'm gonna do,
you're gonna do that? Our former colleague, Robert Smith, is going to be one of my guests.
Ding!
Okay. And Chuck Foreman.
Whoa. Wow.
Phil,
you don't have to guess.
I don't have to guess. Why? I don't get a chance?
I mean, if you really didn't hear, I'm sure.
I only feel good about one. I have zero clue on my second one. Okay. I only have one. Robert Smith, because...
Got it.
Okay. And my second one, Herschel Walker. I have no idea.
Oh, no. Okay, Matthew wins today. He got both of them. Robert Smith and Chuck Foreman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice pull on Chucky.
There you go. Well, listen, when you're as old as
your
I am.
Contemporaries, that's
my
right.
contemporary.
Oh, man.
I like Chuck Foreman with the glasses. I still think
we need to iron out, because I want to have the opportunity for both of us to answer these questions at the same time.
Saying,
I feel like there's either a written version or we just get, you know, today is your day versus my day. We'll figure all that part out. So let's go. What do we have in terms of interruptions? We got a check on that. Do we have okay, let's see what we have. What's the total number right now? 5 with an asterisk. That's pretty good. For three shows.
Good.
Not bad. You're
there.
Pacing at 1.67 per show with an asterisk. That's pretty good right there.
So far,
the over under that was set in
Vegas.
Have
we set a season long over under? Someone get Doug Kazarian
800.
On the phone.
Yeah, 800 and a half was the number.
800 that
was
and a half.
800 and a half?
One every 7.5 minutes.
1.67. Well done by you, Matthew Berry. All right, so coming up.
Cut to me like at 795 with 2 weeks left of the season, and I'm just like, I got the flu. I'm not coming in.
So a couple of notes. We hope everybody is back tomorrow. Daniel Stefania, we'll see. Things were, and I do mean this seriously, it was very, very dire here in Connecticut, hit hard by yesterday's storm. So we wish everybody that was impacted by it well and get power back hopefully very, very soon. We have an exciting show tomorrow. We have not just the NFL MVP we're talking about in Lamar Jackson, but also the number one pick in this year's draft, Joe Burrow. The Bengals could be sneaky fun in fantasy football this year. He's Matthew Berry, TMR on all forms of social media, except for the Fantasy Life app,
where I'm at Matthew Berry.
That's right.
New episode of the Fantasy Yates. Show on ESPN Plus later today.
Let's go. Anything else you want to plug?
No. At Field Yates on Instagram and Twitter, at Kyle Sloppy ESPN on the Twitter as well.
Talk to you guys on Thursday.
We'll see you guys on Thursday. Thanks so much for tuning in, and peace out.
Center for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.